Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
If you have children or grandchildren attending school, whether public or private, and they are in the 6th, 8th, 10th, or 12th grades, there's a very good chance they will be asked to participate in the Pennsylvania Youth Survey, or PAYS. This survey can be administered anytime up until November 22nd, 2017. It's given every other year, so we'll talk a little bit about that. According to PAYS website, it, quote, collects information on youth knowledge, attitudes and behaviors towards alcohol, tobacco, and other drug use, and other problem behaviors, unquote. There are many questions about criminal acts, suicide, guns, alcohol, and illegal drug use of not only the student, but the student's family. Is this survey necessary? Is it needed? Can it have an adverse effect upon some students? My guest today is Cheryl Boyce. She's an education advocate from Allegheny County, and she'll help us answer some of these questions. Thanks, Cheryl, for being with us.
You're welcome.
Now, you've been in the education fight for quite a while. Is PAYS a relatively new idea?
Actually, no. If you look at the actual timeline and fact sheet, every odd year since 1989, they've been doing it. But they're really expanding their influence, so more and more districts are using this. So I think since 1989, we just haven't seen it that much.
Mm-hmm.
It is for 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th graders.
Okay. Yeah. That's...
So it.
But it's every other year, so that means the same students being asked the question.
Actually, it's not. It's an interesting survey. If you were anybody who studies surveys, I wouldn't say getting the same students to ask, ask the questions up every other year is exactly what I would say a comprehensive survey is, first of all. But the thing that, Diana, that you have to understand is a lot of the programs and the questions they're asking, there are already mandates in place. For example, you know, there, if you have drug and alcohol programs in your school, that already exists. Before Corbett left office, he passed a thing about suicide prevention, and I mean, we can go into whether we should be doing this at all or not. So a lot of these programs exist, so the question becomes, what's the point of the survey?
Yeah, exactly. Is there money tied to it? You look down through the list, because we have the link on our website to the list of participating schools. There's only a handful in Pennsylvania that's not participating. So is there some kind of money tied? If you do this survey, we'll give you money or something like that?
Well, what they say is it justifies grant money if you can prove you have a problem. But again, we already have, for example, they talk about bullying in the survey, but we already are paying for a Department of Safe Schools in Harrisburg that oversees bullying programs. I mean, this seems redundant, number one.
Redundant? I mean, you're talking about government. Surely there's no redundancy in government. I'm joking,
Yes, I know, clearly. But schools jump on this because they say they can get grant money, but they can already apply for grant money because every school is already following these mandates that justify the use of the surveys in the first place. But here's the thing you have to think about. And we got into a really big argument on our Facebook page about this because some parents think, well, what's the big deal? It's supposed to be anonymous. Well, then who does it help?
Especially when some of the questions deal with suicide and also with cutting and other other harmful activities. So if there's a student taking this survey and the student indicates that they're involved in this harmful activity, how can they be helped if they don't know who's taking it?
We went to the folks that oversee this in the state, and we asked those questions, and clearly, you know, we got some answers back, but they didn't answer those kind of questions because they're saying, well, it's anonymous, what's the big deal? And we had parents say that, which I find it's fascinating that parents would say that, because if you look at the actual, and this is pretty small type, but I have my glasses on, I mean, it says in here, do you feel very close to your mother? Do you feel very close to your father? Do you share your thoughts and feelings with your mother, your father? Do you enjoy spending time with your mother or father?
Yeah, parents should be concerned about those type of questions being asked on that survey, and it delves into family relationships and how close those are. It also talks about argumentation, you know, arguments within the family and such as that. So it delves into family life quite a bit.
Right, and you have to realize sixth graders are taking this, and it's the same survey, which I question, are you giving the same survey to an 11-year-old that you're giving to a 17- or 18-year-old?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes.
Wow.
So, I mean, how would you get in that response from an 11-year-old in sixth grade? Because, for example, let me find the one. here's a good one. Now, think about this if you had a sixth grader, 11-year-old. My parents asked me what I think before most family decisions affecting me are made.
Sixth grader? Oh, I'm
yeah.
sure that.
Well, I mean, I'm going back and thinking about when my kids
mm-hmm.
were in sixth
yeah.
grade. There was a whole lot of things I decided as a parent that I wasn't going to sit down and have a conference with
and
them
that's
on.
And that's the role of a parent is to make decisions like that, especially when it comes to a sixth grader.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, when they get to be 18...
They give some input.
Yeah. I mean, I feel confident in their decision, I may let them even decide.
Yeah.
But that is something that comes with age and experience.
And the individual kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so when you look at these questions, there's a lot more that goes into them. So if you just answer them yes or no, but under certain circumstances. You know, they could say they have a parent who's paying very close attention to what they're doing, and their parents say, I don't think you can do this.
Yeah.
No. And so, you know, the kid being, you know, a preteen or a teenager
mm-hmm,
is
right.
going to think, oh, my parents never let me do anything.
Yeah.
And,
plus, if the kid wanted a Snicker bar for breakfast that morning and the parent said, no, you can't have a Snicker bar,
exactly.
they're holding a grudge anyway against the parent who wouldn't let them have a Snicker bar for breakfast
Absolutely.
That morning. So.
But here's the other thing we talked about when we were talking on our Facebook page. Think about this. If you're really into drugs, if you're really into alcohol, if you have a mental health issue, if you're abused, there's an element of denial.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how valid are these surveys anyway,
yeah.
based on how people are going to respond? Because are people who are doing these negative behaviors going to be honest about it, number one? And we asked kids who apparently their parents found out after the fact that they answered these questions. And, you know, kids are pretty savvy when they're teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be honest about this stuff.
Yeah, not likely.
Not
sure.
likely. Or some of the kids said, hey, this had nothing to do with me, so I just, like...
Marked whatever.
Yeah. So the validity of this... And I asked them about this, the people that ever see this, and they said, oh, well, there's checks and balances within the questions. I said, you're not listening to what I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if a kid's really having a problem, they could be in heavy denial, and they're not going to answer these questions
That's
correctly.
For sure.
Or if it doesn't pertain to them, they're going to just go, oh, I don't really care, and they're going to just gonna mess around with the question.
Right,
the
exactly. You know, make them appear like they're the worst person in the world as far as the way they answer the questions. Do you know who writes the questions? Who creates the survey? Do you know that? Who?
Bach Harrison.
Okay.
Bach Harrison is the company that is starting in May. They're the ones that are involved with this. Now, Penn State is very, very, very involved with this.
Okay.
They have a department at Penn State University that are really into this, too, so they oversee it. So starting in May through the summer, they go out and they start to try to sell the schools on doing this.
Oh, really? They actually go out and go to the
schools? They have outreach to the schools.
Okay.
Yeah, Bach Harrison, the company, mm-hmm. has outreach to the schools, and then organizations like prevention organizations and whatever,
okay.
you know, do this too. And then,
such as the Department of Stay Safe Schools, they're probably out there promoting it.
Well,
too.
They probably are too, because knowing them and
yeah.
how they promote things, because they're into the social and emotional
right.
standard business,
yeah. Yeah.
probably. And I think you see a lot of other groups who here's the reality of this. There are a whole lot of adults making money on this.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I wonder if we're doing this because it's better for the kids or because somebody's making money.
Making money. I would say it's the money thing, that
the
adults are making money, yes.
Yeah, but the thing is, I had an opportunity. There was our school district, when Corbett decided to do suicide prevention from 6th to 12th grade before
mm-hmm.
he left office,
mm-hmm.
a gentleman came to our school board meeting, and I was there, and I had a chance to talk to him, and he was from a group that works with suicide prevention and families who have had to deal with this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the problem with schools are they do everything generically.
Yeah.
They have a generic assembly on bullying. They have a generic assembly or program on suicide. And you don't know who's sitting
mm-hmm.
there
exactly.
that might have tried to commit suicide,
mm-hmm.
is considering that,
yeah.
or had somebody close to them do that, and you have no clue the reaction or the feeling they have internally because
mm-hmm.
you've got 50 kids in an auditorium doing this program.
Yeah. I read something recently where I can't remember the year that or the administration that schools, when they deal with such as an English class,
right.
they deal with controversial subjects like suicide or drug use, something
right.
like that, within their reading assignments. They actually have counselors in that classroom. If a student has issues with the reading material or such as that, then the counselor is on hand.
That may be true in some districts, but you have to realize they're all doing the same programs, and some
okay.
of the districts do not have that kind of resource to have somebody
okay.
in there. I think it hinges on the district. I
mm-hmm.
think it hinges on the money that they have to do this kind of stuff, and that may be
okay.
true in some cases,
okay.
but that's not necessarily true. That's why this gentleman came, because he's saying, you know, even... And think about this, too. When you say counselors...
How are they qualified? It's my first
that's
question.
That's my question.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a discussion with legislators in Harrisburg. If you're going to have school teachers and staff do this kind of thing, and really the only person probably in the whole school district that may be qualified to do this is the school psychologist.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that depends on a whole lot of factors on what they've specifically studied. But the school staff, they're not licensed therapists.
To do that. Right, exactly.
They're certified. If you've ever studied education in college, which I did, you don't get the kind of background and training. Yes, you work with children. But the interesting thing, Diane, is my daughter has a friend who's a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
She went to college with her. And before she could become licensed, she had to go through individual specific therapy of her own, so she didn't bring her own dynamic into the sessions. She had to be able to distance her personal feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers don't have that.
That's for sure. Wow. Yeah, because they're in the classroom every day with students, and they don't have this kind of training to
weed
out the...
No.
Wow.
And I said to the legislators when I was talking about this, they agreed with this. Of course, they didn't do anything about it at this point, but I...
Cheryl, you're good. We understand what you're saying, and they boot you out the door.
Yeah, well, they listen to you, agree with you, and
then
I don't see any legislation to fix the problem. I said, if you're going to ask school staff, the majority of school staff who are not qualified or educated to do this kind of thing and determine what really is going on with a student, I said, and even the school counselors, you know, what do we want school counselors to do?
Yeah.
If you're going to start doing that kind of thing, then we need people that are educated, who are licensed, and have to follow state-specific ethical guidelines about how they handle things.
What's the role of the school psychologist?
Well, it's supposed to be, it used to be, things like, you know, you would, you know, look at kids and do testing for special education.
Okay.
To find out if they had learning issues.
Okay, I got you.
That kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of expanded now. But I don't know what each, you know, some districts have school psychologists that have gotten their PhDs. And they have clinical experience in a lot of fields. Other ones may have someone with a master's degree, and you would question what kind of clinical experience they have. So you have to know their clinical background. And that gets to a whole different issue. That would probably be the person, unless they're contracting out to legitimate therapists in the community who are psychiatrists and whatever, you know, but then that gets to a thing about consent, because if you look at state ethical guidelines, a legitimate licensed therapist has to get consent from the parent or guardian if the child's a minor to do certain things, which schools don't do.
Well, no, true. And back to the pay survey, do school districts, again, the majority of school districts in Pennsylvania, if they have not already administered this survey, they will by November 22nd.
Correct.
Do they allow the parents to preview the questions? Do they let the parents know even this is taking place? Or how does that whole thing work?
That is a toss-up again.
Mm.
We even had school board members, which is what caused us to have a really in-depth conversation about this cycle, who wanted to see it before they voted on it. You would hope.
School board members don't even know what it is.
Yes. You know what? That really bothers me a lot. We elect them to be our first line of defense to protect the kids. And I know of school board members who have told me specifically they wanted to see the survey and they were told no by their administration. Now, you can find it online. So they finally were able to find where it was at and take a look at it. But it went out for a vote before they were able to do that. And the school boards just, you know, rubber stamped it.
Yeah.
I would never do that.
No.
I would want to read something before I actually said okay to it.
Exactly, because you're impacting every student, 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th grader in your school district with these questions. And some students are going to, as they take this survey, they're going to, you know, wonder, well, should I be doing this stuff? I mean, you don't know how that student, you know, how sensitive that student is and how they're going to react to some of those questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I said to some of the school board members that were getting a hard time from their administration that wanted to see this, I said, my question would be, you have no business giving this to the kids if you're not going to let me see it.
For sure. And a superintendent, it's like the government. The administration is hired by the school board.
Correct.
Yet the school board is answering to the administration, or the school board, the administration is dictating to the school board what they can and cannot see.
Yes, and that's a dynamic that's the fault of weak school boards and people that get on there that are more worried about the football turf than they are worried about the stuff the kids are doing in the classroom. Because one parent brought to our attention that this can also be done online. So that brings
I found it online, so that's one of my questions. Is it an online test, or is it something that our survey, or is it they
it's
just...
It's been mixed. So,
again,
it depends upon school districts and their ability to provide a computer for every kid that's participating.
Yeah.
And, again, that varies based on the size and the money in the district.
Right.
But, it's both ways. So, you know, administration, I'm sorry, I would look to an administrator, and I went to my administrator, and I looked at him, and I said, point blank, are you doing this? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to see what he was going to say to me, and he said, no, and I looked up the list, and no, we're not doing it. Okay. Have we done it in the past? Yes. Yeah. We have a new superintendent. He, because of something happened in our district, knows not to do this stuff. He said, I'm not doing anything from outside like this because I don't know where the controls are.
Okay.
That was the right answer.
Right.
But he learned the hard way about mistakes our district has made, and he's not trying to duplicate them. It's unfortunate a district has to have something bad happen before they say no to this stuff.
Yeah, before they realize it's a mistake
to
give this to kids. And it's like 11 pages long? I mean, it's not
It's really extensive. And, and I mean, there's a lot of questions because the type is really small when you look at the number of questions per page. It's really extensive. And the other issue, too, and this is another thing school board members want to see, and they've already asked, and we'll see if this happens. The surveys are returned back to the state, Penn State, and this Bach Harrison, December 22nd, right before Christmas. I guess November 22nd to December 22nd, they're sitting on these surveys. What are they doing with them?
I
would like to know what they're doing with them. And then come April of 2018, then they send a report that goes back to the schools in the counties, different agencies in the counties. And a lot of school board members say, okay, if we're having a problem that justifies doing this survey and taking time out of the academic day, I want to see this report.
And do they get to see it?
Well, that's a good question. We're going to see if that's happened. In the past, it's been very difficult, and it really hasn't happened. We're going to see if this time around some of the school board members are a little more adamant that have asked for this information.
Yeah.
So we're going to see if they actually get it. If they do not get it, then we're going to step forward and say, why? Why are our elected officials that represent the taxpayers not permitted to see the data that's accumulated from this?
Yeah, I mean, because it involves the students that they're supposed
Absolutely.
To be
Helping. Supposedly.
Supposedly, but, you know, it's just, even as far as school board, sometimes it seems to, even at that level when it comes to politics, it seems that it goes to their head, power goes to their head, and they think, well, we can just dictate whatever to the school district and the parents. Yeah, who cares about the parents? We just, until comes election year, they want your vote again. Typical politics.
And we just had four people come onto our board, four people are left, and we've got four coming on, and I cringe. And I've talked to them. They have no clue. And the fascinating thing is they don't listen. They don't want to talk about these issues, and they act like they know better. And I'm like thinking to myself, I've done this for decades. I'm trying to get your attention. You have to start paying attention to this. You need to ask the question, what is this?
Exactly.
Before you vote for it. You know, just not worry about, you know, our district's resurfacing the tennis courts. You know, just don't worry about resurfacing the tennis courts, though you're spending money. Ask questions about this stuff.
Don't we
trust the administration?
Yeah.
Really?
Stuff that impacts, the administration. Sometimes that's the problem right there. Yeah, they should be much more concerned about something that directly impacts every student. In this case, in those four grades. But it impacts every single student in those four grades, unless their parent finds out about it and actually opts them out.
Now, that was interesting because the response was from some districts, they found out. This is one of those things we always believe, and this is our philosophy, the people I've worked for years. We believe you need to let the parents know, and then they have to sign a consent form for participation.
An opt-in. Okay.
They only allow opt-outs,
which means you've
got to know that they're doing it before you can send a letter saying, my kid's not doing this.
Exactly. And almost everything when it comes to the public school system, it's an opt-out. So your child is, to begin with, it's dependent upon the child, in most cases, dependent upon the child to bring that slip of paper home to give the parent the heads up that this is happening. And then the parent has a certain time frame in which to return the opt-out.
Right.
And that's completely upside down.
Right. Or in some cases, now a lot of districts now have programs where you go on, where you go on the computer and you can get all this information in the school district. Now, that just means you have to keep constantly monitoring this to know what's going on.
Exactly.
I mean, people like me would do that because I want to know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But a whole lot of parents are not going to constantly, especially if they have small children, constantly get on there and monitor this to find out every week what's happening.
Yeah.
So, that's a real problem. That's been an ongoing problem with schools for a long time. You know, I mean, when you go into the doctor's office and they're going to do some tests, you have to sign permission forms,
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Or they're not going to do it.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Well, that's what schools should do.
I totally agree, because this survey asking about drug use and alcohol and, you know, basically domestic violence and suicide, bullying, and such as that, they should be very careful as to who they give the survey to, and they should ask tough questions before they even give the survey to anyone. But it's very evident that they're not asking any tough questions.
And if you think about this, Diane, think about it really. If your child does have a problem, the school is only in session 180 days, and they're not there when the kid needs help.
Right.
Who's going to be the one there 24/7 that's going to help this child through problems that they have?
The parent. Yeah.
The parents and the family, so the guardians.
Yeah.
In many cases. Now, do some of these kids not have the family structure that they need? I feel like this questionnaire needs to be given to some inner-city kid who doesn't know where this dad is. I mean, sometimes we do such generic things that doesn't pertain to every single kid.
Exactly.
And a lot of families that I know will be there 24/7 for their child if they have a legitimate problem.
Yeah. And that's typical school system is there. This typical concept within the public education system as a whole is all the kids are the same. We're just going to pigeonhole them, you know, because obviously they view the kids as all the same, which is so far-fetched, because each of these kids are individuals. They have a different home life, and they have a completely different background. And to assume that this questionnaire, this survey, is going to, you know, is going to impact each student or going to be telling the story of each student is really far-fetched. It's just, to me, it's planting ideas into the kids' heads.
Well, I don't know if you were at the event we had several years ago when Dr. Miriam Grossman came to Pittsburgh. She's originally from Pittsburgh. She's a psychiatrist. She worked on a college campus, and her books are about sex education, because she couldn't understand why kids were so messed up about their sexual behavior in college. And then she started asking questions because she thought they had such bad information.
Yeah.
And she asked them, she said, where did you learn that from?
Mm-hmm.
And they would go, oh, I learned that in school.
Yeah.
And she learned that a lot of times, you're right, they're not looking at the individual child. They're doing things very mechanically in their presentations, and like with sex ed, they're not talking about bonding, commitment, you know, those kind of concepts that you and I might talk about with our children. They don't do that. It's very mechanical, and then the details of emotion and how you feel about things or how you're thinking about them is sort of taken out of the picture.
Wow.
You know, so that creates a lot of problems. You do tend to wonder, are we creating more problems with these programs? Because I've asked my own district when they were doing the bullying, and I said, okay, great. They said, if we can help one child, I said, how do you know that?
Yeah, for sure.
Show me the data that shows me that this program is effective. Because you spend money on a program, you want to know effectiveness, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, but it's taxpayer dollars, so I don't know if they are concerned so much about, I don't know. I really don't know. All these different programs. And if they even help that one student in a bullying program, how many students are being adversely affected by that same program?
Or do you desensitize the kids on these issues and they don't listen to them all?
Yeah,
because you ask that, say, okay, show me. And someone actually did this with their district on this particular survey and said, well, you know, you're saying this is effective. And they came back and said, well, show me data that it isn't.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I'm not the one administering this.
Exactly.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to show
justification. Trying to put the justification or the...
Right, in the wrong place.
So
you're doing it. You show me why I should support this.
Yeah, but how many parents would be taken aback and... When the response is from the school board or the administration, well, you should show me it's not working. And how many parents would immediately drop their concerns because they don't know how to respond to that?
Right. Yeah, I mean, let's face it. You and I have done this long enough that we're going to know what to say to them.
Right.
And we're also not going to back down because we know they get away with this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Now, do I trust them? Look, I say this all the time. I cannot teach calculus to my children. Never tried, can't do it.
Same
it's
here.
Not my thing.
Yeah.
If you want to teach them physics and calculus and Latin, that's what I want you to do. But when it comes to this stuff, the social and emotional things, do not step on all over me because, and I used this example too when we were talking about this at length. We had two teachers in our school district that got fired because they got in an accident in our school complex because they were DUI.
Oh
they were coming to school under the influence. And you want me to trust those people? to deal with social and emotional issues when they themselves have a problem.
Yeah, wow. So parents just need to be aware. I know we have the link on our website to the list of schools that are participating, what they have to do to opt out. And you guys have a Facebook page, right?
We do. We're under PA. We're still under PA against Common Core. There's so many other issues.
Oh,
I know. I just recently said we should change the name, but then we're going to lose the ability for people to find us because we've had that name for so long.
Right.
But we address all kinds of issues. And this was, we must have had, I don't know, 16,000 hits within a matter of a day or two when this was posted, because every parent goes, a lot of parents want to know, what is this?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
they had no clue, and the majority of them were like, no. And you get the one, and I get, I try to have a communication with them.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't understand where your head's at.
And
we have a discussion, and so they can go on there and look at things we post. There's a variety of things we post. This is also an issue of privacy. I know we live in a society where privacy seems not to matter anymore.
But
everybody's got their family on TV and all the businesses all over, these reality shows. Seriously, I do tend to care about privacy.
So folks can go to Facebook and then just key in and search for PA. Is it Pennsylvanians Against Common Core?
We fixed it so people were just putting PA Against Common Core, so we just have a PA Against Common Core.
Okay.
You can Google, it'll take you directly to the page. You can engage. We're posting stuff on a regular basis. But that was a really hot-button issue. I mean, that was like within 24 to 48 hours
parents,
we had all these hits.
Parents, by and large, don't know what's happening, but
No, they don't.
So I encourage your listeners to go, if they're on Facebook, to go to look for PA Against Common Core, and that'll take you to the variety of issues that Cheryl and other ones deal with on a daily basis, I'll say. But I really appreciate you staying up on top of all this stuff and letting people, letting parents be aware of what's going on. Really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay, you take care.
You take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFA of PA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afaofpa.org.